This sound file contains the spoken word version of a Wikipedia article on the Red Scare. It is recorded by user s_whistler, and the material is recorded on the 27th of July, 2012. Red Scare, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. The term Red Scare denotes two distinct periods of strong anti-communism in the United States. The first Red Scare from 1919 to 1921, and the second Red Scare from 1947 to 1957. The first Red Scare was about worker, socialist revolution, and political radicalism. The second Red Scare was focused on national and foreign communists influencing society, infiltrating the federal government, or both. Contents. The first Red Scare, 1919 to 1920. The second Red Scare, 1947 to 1957. The first Red Scare, 1919 to 1920. The first Red Scare began following the Bolshevik Russian Revolution of 1917 and the intensely patriotic years of World War I as anarchist and left-wing social agitation aggravated national, social, and political tensions. Political scientist and former member of the Communist Party, Murray B. Levin, wrote that the Red Scare was a nationwide anti-radical hysteria provoked by a mounting fear and anxiety that a Bolshevik revolution in America was imminent. A revolution that would change church, home, marriage, civility, and the American way of life. Newspapers exacerbated those political fears into xenophobia because varieties of radical anarchism were perceived as answers to poverty. The advocates were often recent European immigrants. Moreover, the Industrial Workers of the World, IWW, backed several labor strikes in 1916 and 1917 that the press portrayed as radical threats to American society inspired by left-wing, foreign agents provocateur. Thus, the press misrepresented legitimate labor strikes as crimes against society, conspiracies against the government, and plots to establish communism. In April 1919, authorities discovered a plot for mailing 36 bombs to prominent members of the US political and economic establishment. J.P. Morgan, John D. Rockefeller, Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, US Attorney General Alexander Mitchell Palmer, and immigration officials. On the 2nd of June 1919, in eight cities, eight bombs simultaneously exploded. One target was the Washington, D.C. house of U.S. Attorney General Palmer, where the explosion killed the bomber, who, evidence indicated, was an Italian-American radical from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Afterwards, Palmer ordered the U.S. Justice Department to launch the Palmer Raids, 1919 to 1921. Yet, in 1918, before the bombings, President Woodrow Wilson had pressured the Congress to legislate the Anti-Immigrant, Anti-Anarchist Sedition Act of 1918 to protect wartime morale by deporting putatively undesirable political people. Law professor David D. Cole reports that President Wilson's federal government consistently targeted alien radicals, deporting them for their speech or associations, making little effort to distinguish true threats from ideological dissidents. Initially, the press praised the raids. The Washington Post said, "There is no time to waste on hair-splitting over the infringement of liberty," and the New York Times said, "The injuries inflicted upon the arrested were souvenirs of the new attitude of aggressiveness which had been assumed by the federal agents against Reds and suspected Reds." In the event, the Palmer raids were criticized as unconstitutional by 12 publicly prominent lawyers, including future Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter, who published a report on the illegal practices of the United States Department of Justice, documenting systematic violations of the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 8th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution via Palmer-authorized illegal acts and wanton violence. Defensively, Palmer then warned that a government deposing left-wing revolution would begin on the 1st of May 1920, May Day, the International Workers' Day. When it failed to happen, he was ridiculed and lost much credibility. Strengthening the legal criticism of Palmer was that fewer than 600 deportations were substantiated with evidence out of the thousands of resident aliens illegally arrested and deported. In July 1920, Palmer's promising Democratic Party bid for the U.S. presidency failed. Wall Street was bombed on the 1st of September 1920 near Federal Hall and the J.P. Morgan Bank. Although both anarchists and communists were suspected as being responsible for the bombing, ultimately no individuals were indicted for the bombing, in which 38 died and 141 were injured. In 1919 to 1920, several states enacted criminal syndicalism, laws outlawing advocacy of violence in effecting and securing social change. The restrictions included free speech limitations. Passage of these laws, in turn, provoked aggressive police investigation of the accused persons, their jailing and deportation for being suspected of being either communist or left-wing. Regardless of ideological gradation, the Red Scare did not distinguish between communism, socialism, or social democracy. Second Red Scare. The Second Red Scare occurred after World War II, 1939 to 1945, and was popularly known as McCarthyism, after its most famous supporter and namesake, Senator Joseph McCarthy. McCarthyism coincided with increased popular fear of communist espionage consequent to a Soviet Eastern Europe, the Berlin Blockade 1948 to 1949, the Chinese Civil War, the confessions of spying for the Soviet Union given by several high-ranking US government officials, and the Korean War. Internal causes of anti-communist fear. The events of the late 1940s, the trial of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, the Iron Curtain, 1945 to 1941, around Eastern Europe, and the Soviet Union's nuclear weapon, surprised the American people, influencing popular opinion about US national security that, in turn, connected to the fear of the Soviet Union hydrogen bombing the United States, and fear of the Communist Party of the United States of America, CPUSA. In Canada, the 1946 Kellogg-Taschereau Commission investigated espionage after top-secret documents concerning RDX, radar, and other weapons were handed over to the Soviets by a domestic spy ring. At the House Un-American Activities Committee, former CPUSA members and NKVD spies, Elizabeth Bentley and Whittaker Chambers, testified that Soviet spies and anti-communist sympathizers had penetrated the US government before, during, and after the Second World War. Other US citizen spies confessed, some with pride, to their acts of espionage in situations where the statute of limitations on prosecuting them had run out. In 1949, anti-communist fear and fear of American traitors was aggravated by the Chinese communists winning the Chinese Civil War against the Western-sponsored Kuomintang. Their founding of the People's Republic of China and later Chinese intervention in the Korean War, 1950 to 1953, against US ally South Korea. History. By the 1930s, communism had become an attractive economic ideology among some in the United States, particularly among labor leaders and the intelligentsia. At its zenith in 1939, the CPUSA had some 50,000 members. In 1940, soon after World War II began in Europe, the US Congress legislated the Alien Registration Act, making it a crime to knowingly or willingly advocate, abet, advise, or teach the duty, necessity, desirability, or propriety of overthrowing the government of the United States or of any state by force or violence, or for anyone to organize any association which teaches, advises, or encourages such an overthrow, or for anyone to become a member of or affiliate with any such association, and required federal registration of all foreign nationals. Although principally deployed against communists, the Smith Act was also used against right-wing political threats, such as the German-American Bund and the perceived racial disloyalty of the Japanese-American population. In 1941, after Nazi Germany invaded the Soviet Union, the CPUSA's official position became pro-war, opposing labor strikes in the weapons industry and supporting the US war effort against the Axis powers, with the slogan, "Communism is 20th century Americanism." The chairman, Earl Browder, advertised the CPUSA's integration to the political mainstream. In contrast, the Trotskyist Socialist Workers' Party opposed US participation in the war and supported labor strikes, even in the war effort industry. For this reason, James P. Cannon and other SWP leaders were convicted per the Smith Act. In March 1947, President Harry S. Truman signed Executive Order 9835, creating the Federal Employees Loyalty Program, establishing political loyalty review boards who determined the Americanism of federal government employees and recommended termination of those who had confessed to spying for the Soviet Union, as well as some suspected of being un-American. The House Committee on Un-American Activities, HUAC, and the committees of Senator Joseph McCarthy conducted character investigations of American communists, actual and alleged, and their roles in real and imaginary espionage, propaganda, and subversion favoring the Soviet Union, in the process revealing the extraordinary breadth of the Soviet spy network in infiltrating the federal government. The process also launched the successful political career of Richard Nixon and Robert F. Kennedy, as well as that of Joseph McCarthy. McCarthy, a freshman senator who died soon thereafter, realized little political gain from the process. Senator McCarran introduced the McCarran Internal Security Act of 1950 that was passed by the U.S. Congress and which modified a great deal of law to restrict civil liberties in the name of security. President Truman declared the act a mockery of the Bill of Rights and a long step towards totalitarianism because it represented a government restriction on the freedom of opinion. He vetoed the act, but his veto was overturned by Congress. Much of the bill was eventually repealed. The Second Red Scare profoundly altered the temper of American society. Its later characterization as anti-intellectual may be seen as contributory to the popularity of anti-communist espionage, My Son John, 1950, and science fiction movies, The Thing from Another World, 1951, with stories and themes of the infiltration, subversion, invasion, and destruction of American society by un-American thought and inhuman beings. Even a baseball team, the Cincinnati Reds, temporarily renamed themselves to the Cincinnati Redlegs to avoid the money-losing and career-ruining connotations inherent in being ball-playing Reds, communists. In 1995, the American government revealed details of the VANOA project, indicating intelligence gathering by Americans for the Soviet Union from 1940 through 1980.